Let's stand together as we read. I know I had you sit down, right? I'm helping you to get your exercise in. Don't you appreciate that? Let's read our verse together. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Lord, we are asking by your Spirit's power that you would guide us into this truth, Lord, and more than just getting it as an understanding in our minds, but Lord, speak deep down into our hearts, Lord, for the places that we need. We need you to do a work in us. The places that we struggle to love fearlessly. The places we struggle to be courageous. Holy Spirit, would you be the power that makes us courageous, that gives us the ability to love where in and of ourselves we couldn't. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that work through your powerful, life-changing word. We are here with arms wide open saying, Lord, here I stand. Speak to me more than that, Lord. Take it from listening to changing me. Make me a different person, Lord, through your word today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know why you know what you look like? Exactly, Adam. Because we have mirrors. You think about, I'm not sure when mirrors actually came into being. I guess you could always look in water to some degree and see yourself. But yeah, the only reason you know what you look like is because you can see yourself reflected back somehow in a mirror, right? Without that, you really wouldn't know what you look like. Of course, now we've got cameras so we can do selfies, and then we see what we look like too, right? It's not one thing, it's another. Yeah, we could do the selfie stick and get me and other people. Well, sometimes the mirror, we like looking in the mirror. Then there's those times we get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we go, ugh, it's going to take some work before I can get out the door, right? And mirrors do that. They kind of point out the reality of who we are. We've got a mirror in our bathroom that not only does it give you a regular mirror that you see yourself, but if you flip it over, you know what it does? Oh, it really makes you see what you look like, because you're like, oh man, are you kidding me? It's an up-close and personal view of yourself. And yeah, that's sometimes an interesting experience. God's word is like that. God is like that. We kind of think about who we are and what we are like, and we think we know ourselves, but then sometimes we come and we look at God's word and we look at God and his goodness and his perfect love and holiness, and all of a sudden we see ourselves reflected back and it doesn't look quite as pretty. Kind of like that magnifying side. All of a sudden, the imperfections, when put next to God's perfection, don't look so good. And those are the times when we have that fear of disappointing God or displeasing him, or fear of judgment from God, or fear of punishment, or just the sense of guilt for what we're not. And our verse today talks about there's no fear in love, because we talked about this last week. Perfect love casts out fear, right? When we look and truly are made aware of God's perfect love for us and what he did on the cross to take away all of that stuff we see when we look at ourselves through God's eyes, all the sin, all the selfishness, all the anger, the unforgiveness, all that stuff that doesn't look so good, we recognize that God loves us so much that he sent his his son, his own son, to die in our place so that all of that up close, is washed away, right? We become forgiven. We become a people who are, and our guilt is washed away. Our sins are forgiven, they're washed away, and we become all of a sudden a different person, a new creation in Christ, right? And then when we begin to look at God, we don't look at ourselves as, oh, I'm this or I'm that or I'm not this or I'm not that. I begin to look at myself through the cross, right? All of a sudden the cross comes and all my fear is washed away because of the cross, because of what Jesus did for me. I no longer fear because his perfect love has been made manifest in my heart, and I don't fear him anymore. I look at him as someone who loves me so much that he went all the way to the cross for me. He loved me that much. And if he loves me that much, why would I fear him? I put my faith in him. I trust in what he has done for me in the cross. And now I am no longer a slave to fear, right? I'm his child. I'm his child. And he begins to perfect me or complete me. We talked about that. And all of my guilt, all of my sin, it's forgiven, it's covered by the blood of Christ. And Scripture says he's not going to bring it up to you ever again. Isn't that good news? The stuff that I can think back on in my life and that I'm not proud of. I know that when I die and leave this earth and I stand before God, he's not going to say, you know what? You need to be held accountable for this, and you did this, so you're going to have to pay for that. It's paid for. It's done. I don't have to ever worry about God demanding payment for what I've done in the past. And that's powerful. And because of that, our verse says, perfect love, the one who, we're perfected in love. We become more perfect, more complete, as we become more like Christ. Why? Because we're called to love as what? As he loved us. And now as we look at ourselves in the mirror and we see ourselves through the cross, right? I don't just look at myself and all my imperfections. When I look at the mirror and I see myself, I see the cross. And I know that the cross has cleansed me. But how do I look at other people? How do I look at other people? When we recognize that what God has done for us, I can begin to look at other people in the same way that I look at myself in the mirror, through the cross, with a different kind of love, a different kind of power that I did not have or do not have in and of myself. We're supposed to love as Jesus loved us, right? And that's exactly what that means. Love others as he has loved you. Did I deserve to be loved when I first came to faith in him? No, but he did. Do other people deserve to be loved in your life? Not necessarily. But we're called to love them in the same way that we were loved before we deserved it. We begin to see others through the same eyes that God saw us. And so this has everything to do with being courageous and loving fearlessly. But I want to go into this other verse that's going to take us a little deeper into it. It says, be on your guard. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is at the end of his letter. He's given them some last admonitions, some last challenges. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Okay? Be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. Do everything in love. be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Is that a challenge to do? Needful today? It's not easy to stand on your faith, to stand on the things that Scripture teaches. And it gets harder and harder these days to say, I know this isn't what everybody else thinks, but this is what the Bible says. And that's not an easy stand to take. But Paul's telling us, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Does it matter what you believe? Does it matter what you believe? I mean, if you're a little bit off, does it matter? You've heard me say that about if you were a plane flying to Florida and the pilot just like 1 degree off in his directions, do you think you would land in a good place? No, you would not land in a good place. It matters what we believe. It matters what's right, and it matters whether things are just a little bit right or all the way right. It matters. It matters. Be on your guard, Paul's saying. Stand firm in the faith. Be watchful. Be vigilant. And be ready to protect others. How are we protecting others when we stand on our faith? Have you had somebody give somebody else bad advice and you're listening going, oh, that's not good advice? Yeah. When we are standing on the Word of God, we're protecting the people around us by saying, I have to help them to know what's true, not what's mostly true or almost true. I need to point back to the Word, and so I protect people in that regard. And that sometimes means we engage with people. And that's a challenge. Because what's the two things that you're never supposed to talk about? Politics and religion. Guess what I'm telling you today? Our Bible says that's baloney. Our Bible says, no, you need to talk about religion. You can skip the politics half the time, but we sure need to talk about God. And if we follow that rule, that never talk about religion, because, boy, that's going to... Will anybody ever hear about the grace and goodness of Christ? Nope, they're not going to learn it from you being a good person and being a kind and helpful person. Because you know what? When they die, you know what they're going to have in their back pocket? Well, Pastor Frank was a really good person. But what does that have to do with being saved by Christ? They need to know about Jesus. If they only know about me or you and what nice people we were, guess who's not going to be standing next to them when they stand before God? It ain't going to be me and it ain't going to be you. They need Christ standing next to them. So we need to engage. We need to engage. But we need to do everything, the Scripture says, in love. In love. Courageously, strongly, but in love. But in love. So you've got somebody in your life that's choosing something that's outside of God's will. What's that word that we use for that? Sin, yes. Something that is outside of God's will for somebody's life. Whether that, and there's all kinds of things that we could be engaging with people in, legalizing marijuana. I'm strongly against that as a something to legalize just for people's social use and so forth. Maybe it's somebody that's doing some shady business deals. I'm against that. Maybe it's somebody that's walking in unforgiveness with somebody. They're just really hanging on to some anger and bitterness. I don't want them to walk in that because it's hurtful to them. Maybe I've got a neighbor who obviously has some anger issues. I've seen him take it out on his dog. I've seen the kids fearful, you know, getting yelled at. Just you can tell there's something that's not right there. I'm against that for him. There's a lot of stuff with the homosexual discussion and transgender. There's a lot of things that I disagree with about people and those things. But I don't wish for the people that are living their lives outside of God's will. I don't wish pain for them. Do you? I don't wish hurt for them. I don't want them to be, you know, homeless or without the things that they need. That's not loving. That's not kind. I don't hope for their success in the things that they're doing that are outside of God's will, though, do I? I don't hope for them to be successful in the things that I know are hurting them because they're going against God's will. So I'm called to courageously love them. Even in the times that I disagree with somebody or might have to confront somebody because they're, you know, they're hanging on to that bitterness and unforgiveness, and maybe they need somebody to come alongside them and say, you know, your only freedom is in forgiving as Christ forgave you. You know, I'm going to have disagreements with people about, you know, those that believe that marijuana should be legalized for personal use. We're going to have disagreements and discussions. But I'm still called to love them, even though I disagree with them. My prayer is for God to change their hearts. My prayer is for God, if I'm wrong, change my heart. Are you open to that? We have to be open to that. Lord, show me if I'm wrong. But Lord, if I'm understanding this rightly, then show them that they're wrong. We want to walk in your word, in your way. It's vital for them that you and I be courageous and strong and to love courageously, to love fearlessly. What's that verse say? We use it a lot. Set apart Christ as what? Set apart Christ as? Somebody knows it. Starts with an L. Bless you. Set apart Christ as Lord, but, where is it? Yeah. Where is it? There it is. No, I've lost it. There it is. But always be prepared. What? To have an answer for the hope that you have. But do so with what? Gentleness and respect. So set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Have it thought through. Be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. But do it kindly. Do it respectfully. But also, Paul is saying, do it courageously, do it strongly, and do it in love. Is that an easy tightrope to walk? It's tough. It's tough, and it's getting tougher every day. But we must do it. Because our nation has one hope for walking in God's will for its future. And you know what that one hope that the United States of America has? Well, revival is the solution for the one hope. The one hope is the church. Jesus left. He's not here, right? Physically. He left, sent his spirit to indwell the church. And the church is the only hope for this country to find its way in God's will. Because that's who God works through, is the church. That may be a scary prospect, but it is God's plan. You and me, the church down the street, all the other Bible-believing churches that are in our country, in the world, we're it. Church has to be the one that guides this nation back to God's good plans and purposes. Now, I just want to As we close, I want to give you a couple of things to think about, because the church is made up of what? Us. It's not the piano, it's not the walls, it's not the parking lot, it's not the roof. All this stuff could be blown away out of here, gone, or just disappear with a snap, and guess what? The church would still be here if it was you and me that were left. We would still be here. We need God to do the work in us individually. So, you know, if you don't have a faith journal or you don't have yours with you, if you want to write on an offering envelope or whatever, I'm going to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would guide you into these areas that God is calling you to love more courageously and more fearlessly. God, all right, Lord, I'm here. You show me what you would like me to do. And I'm going to trust that, because what? Perfect love does what? Casts out fear. I can say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I trust you. Why? Because his love is perfect. And I don't have to fear what he's going to do. He's not going to do something to hurt me. Well, might it be difficult? It might. Oftentimes, I will just tell you that the things God calls us to do are difficult. But they're good. And I can say, God, all right, show me what you want to do. Show me how you want me to love more courageously, more fearlessly. I think about our marriages. May God be calling you to be the first one to step out and stir up the embers if things have gotten a little cold, if things have gotten tense, and you guys are just kind of living in the same house, but that the nurture, the warmth, the oneness in Christ that was there has gotten cold. Is God calling you to courageously be the first to stir up those embers, the first one to say, hey, how about we go on a date? Hey, you know, can we set some time aside to sit down and talk about this issue? I know it's something that we argued about and we got upset about it, and we've just kind of pushed it aside. Is God calling you to be the first one to say, can we just have some time to talk about that? It's a scary place, isn't it? Because what might happen if you're the initiator of love? Might get shut down. You might get your feelings hurt. But loving courageously and fearlessly never says anything about taking away risk. There has to be risk in love, or else it's really not love. Love takes the chance to reach out, always with the possibility that you might get slapped down. Not physically, I'm talking, I'm just, you might get shut down. Do everything in love. Run the risk, but be the one, maybe, that God's calling you to step out and love courageously, love fearlessly. Open it up a little bit to family. This includes kids, teenagers. Maybe this includes you and, you know, you're an adult already, but you have older parents, siblings. Are there needs to have the first one to be to open up discussions for say, you know what, there's been some things simmering in our family for a long time. We're just not dealing with them. Haven't talked to a sibling or a parent in years. Would you be willing to be that courageous, fearless one that would say, I'm going to reach out and try to love? Maybe there's some problems that you've just, in a family that you've just been blowing off and not dealing with, and you need to just sit down and say, let's talk about how we can find some solutions. Can we just have a brainstorming session about how we can fix some things? Maybe it's something as simple as We've been running. We pass each other as we fly by. Hey, everybody, we are going to spend some time together just playing a game or hanging out or going out to eat to a movie. But we're going to spend some time together because we're just running too fast and we've stopped being a family. Maybe it's something as simple as that, to just slow down the pace. But it's courageous love. Say, I'm gonna stop the everyday busyness to slow it down and say, I'm gonna help us to be a family. Maybe it's the hurting people around you. Maybe God has put somebody in your life that you know is hurting, and there's a part of you that's like, I don't know if I want to get involved because it might cost me something. It might cost me something. Sometimes it's just saying, God, I'm open if you would be willing to be there, maybe just to listen. Because sometimes we think, I've got to fix the person's problem. You know what people need first and foremost? Just somebody to listen. Say, what's going on? You seem like you've been kind of upset lately. And determine that you're just going to listen. You don't have to fix things, guys. That's kind of our MO, right? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to do this and this and this, and everything will be fine, right? Kind of what we do. Sometimes we just have to be willing to empathize and just say, wow, that's tough. That's so hard. I'll be praying for you. And then just say, Lord, if there's Holy Spirit, if you need me to say something or do something, I'll be listening. But right now, I'm just gonna open up the door to care about the person. And if the Lord wants you to speak truth and love, you be open. Trust me, He'll help you to know when and where and what to say. If you're open to the Holy Spirit, He will. He's faithful. So, the hurting people. Maybe there's somebody God's put in your life, and you've just been like, I don't want to get involved. Well, trust God that if He does involve you, He'll be faithful to use you, and it'll be good. Or what about the social needs around us? There's hungry people around us. I just got a call from somebody this morning before church. We're going to run some food from the pantry over to them today. There's people around us that are in abusive situations that are afraid. I'm kind of this neighbor. I just kind of watch, and sometimes I'll just be praying for them. Say, Lord, if you would want to use us somehow to help this family, if there's some physical abuse going on there, I don't know. But we're available. I kind of leave it open to God, and then maybe one of these days I'm going to get pulled into something. I don't know. I give it to Him. And we've got people that are coming into this country, and I know that creates all kinds of different perspectives on immigration, but guess what? What it comes down to is that person that you see is a person. They're a child of God, somebody that God loves and created. And am I able to fix the immigration problem? No. Is this a person that maybe God has put in my path that I can help? Maybe I just need to help the person that God puts in front of me. You know, there's foster care problems. There's kids that are in foster care that need caring families. There's children right around in our neighborhoods. There's families are broken, messed up. Parents are just, you know, not caring for them well. That sometimes they just need an adult that's willing to be there, to care. All kinds of hurting people out there. God, I'm available. And I don't know what He'll put in your path, but He does, if you're open to it. There's moral drift in our nation, and we talked a little bit about that. Are these things that we're going to have to speak up about? We have to, because if we don't, then there's nobody to speak truth into our culture. How do we do that? How do we speak to people about things that can be so divisive, speak out of your own need for God's grace. It's not just, well, you're doing this wrong and you need God's grace and forgiveness. Start off with, hey, I needed God to work in my life because I screwed up in this, this, and this. And he forgave me and set me free. And I know this is not in God's will. But here's what God does have for you. Speak. Whenever we're speaking about these divisive issues, we have to be a people speaking hope. Speaking hope. And lastly, our goal for this year was everyone reach one, right? Every one of us reaching one person that we can share Christ with. Again, this goes back to when we see ourselves in the mirror, someone who needed forgiveness, who received God's grace, that's how we look at every person we pass out there. Just like me, I was someone needing forgiveness, and I found God's grace. They need forgiveness. God, use me as an instrument of your grace to somebody else. And let God use you to share what Christ has done in your life. It's a very simple, simple thing. It may not be easy. It may not be convenient. But it is the hope that our world needs. We're gonna wrap there. I'm just trusting that the Holy Spirit has put some names and faces in your mind that you jotted down in your faith journal or on a piece of paper and say, I think God, you might be wanting me to follow up, to be available, to be used, to transform somebody's life, to give them hope and life. So my prayer is that God has spoken to you, and more than that, that he will give you the courage to be able to walk in that and maybe have an impact in someone's eternity. Wouldn't that be a powerful thing? Let's just take a minute. We're going to close in prayer. And we'll send you out into the rain, which is coming right back down again. Well, Father God, there's so much need around us, but Lord, oh, your grace and mercy and forgiveness and love just far outweighs all of it, Lord God. There is so much power that you want to work through us, so much of your love that cause us to be a fearless, courageous people, Lord God. And oh, God, if the 80 people here that would just walk out of here saying, God, use me to touch somebody, God, what a powerful impact we could have. So, Lord, our heart's desire is that you would do this work in and through us, Lord, what we cannot do. But, Lord God, our heart's desire is to be used by you, Lord. I don't want to come back next week and find that I'm the same person I was today. I want to come back and say, God, your word changed me, and I live differently. And what a powerful thing that is to think about, Lord. We look forward to that, and we're going to thank you for what you're going to do as we make ourselves available for your use, that we might touch a life. Lord, we pray this. Thanking you by faith for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord, and have fun dodging raindrops.